Hi, I'm Stina.
And I'm Father Burns.
And this is the Living Fullness Podcast. On this episode, we're going to have a chat about whether we should have expectations in friendship.
If you're new here on the Living Fullness Podcast, we chat about the virtues, how we grow in them, as well as cultural shifts and trends and how we navigate them. And we're delighted to have you join us.
So for this particular episode, I think we're going to have a chat about.
Like you don't know. It's
Well, I'm going to. I don't know whether he's going to join me. I'm hoping we can have a conversation about a short clip, like really, that I watched on a different podcast. And they were chatting about whether you should have any expectations when it comes to friendship or whether you should really be in a place where you just kind of give and expect nothing in return. So that's kind of the topic of conversation. And I think as Christians, we first kind of look at that and go, well, the second makes intuitive sense, or that is what it must be to be Christian, is to be able to just give and not expect anything in return. Like that's the point that we're aiming for. Yeah. So that sounds the most right. But I would actually say that isn't quite right when it comes to the close friendships and relationships that we're in. So for the purpose of this conversation, let's just make a distinction that we're talking about friendship. And if you've listened to previous episodes, we make a distinction between different types of friendships. So we're not talking about acquaintances. We're talking about friendships where it's actually lasted the test of time. There's been, you know, a deep level of trust, growth in honesty, vulnerability, and maybe even shared values and experiences that have come in. And so when we're talking about that kind of a level of friendship and closeness, that will naturally mean that there are certain things that we will come to expect in that, because we've had a certain degree of a relationship grow and form. And so that could be things like qualities like love and respect, kindness, maybe even like a listening ear, like empathy. Those are things that actually become part and parcel of the friendship that we've then formed. So I don't think we can then say, well, actually, no, we can't expect anything in return, because we need those things for that relationship to even exist. And for it to be healthy, we should see some level of reciprocation of those qualities. Having said that, I would also say that it doesn't have to be to the same level. So just because I might show love and affection and kindness in one way and my friend may show love and affection and kindness in another way, doesn't mean it has to be the same way.
I had a little light bulb moment while you were talking.
Yeah.
And the light bulb moment was around Jesus Christ, that he actually – often we think about Jesus Christ in terms of his giving, you know, the giving of his life, right? Mm. And very rightly. But there's also this important aspect of Christ's receiving as well. And we see this in a couple of ways. First of all, what does he frequently go and do? He goes off and he speaks to his Father. And he has a true human nature, which means that he can receive the grace of the Holy Spirit. He's open to those that grace. Of course, he lacks nothing in terms of sanctity, but his humanity is open to that grace. And he is also open to receiving kindness from others. Even, you know, a gospel that was read recently, just before Easter, was the gospel of Mary of Bethany anointing the feet of Jesus, a kindness that he accepts.
Yeah.
You know, so he also receives and gives. So any friendship which doesn't have both those elements, to some degree, lacks genuine Christological element, which is both reception and giving are actually necessary.
For sure. Yeah, I guess the question then becomes, yeah, but should we expect it?
Yeah, sure. And I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes. We because a genuine without because the term expect can be loaded, right?
That's true too. Yeah.
The term expect can be loaded. It can mean you know, well, I consider myself so good or so whatever that, you know, I expect this thing from you, or I expect it because somehow I'm owed your kindness, or I, but we're not talking about that kind of self-centered expectation.
Yeah. But also the flip side of that too is like a false humility as
right,
well.
Right, right.
Of like, no, I wouldn't expect anything in return.
No, exactly. For it.
Like exactly. I'm just going to give with nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Neither of those are acceptable positions, right? The expectation that we're talking about is really an expectation that flows from a healthy relationship. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's an expectation that comes from experiencing a healthy relationship and knowing that in a healthy relationship, it's not just give.
Yes.
That it's also receive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. Mm. Yeah. So do you think there are spaces then within that friendship or those relationships where we shouldn't expect anything in return?
Yes.
Yes, he says.
I think it works for like transactional stuff. Mm. Like if I so just recently, Father Rafter and myself took our boxing trainer out for dinner.
Yeah.
and we take him out for tea frequently enough because he refuses to accept any payment for us, which is just all like he's like, no, Father, we'll take care of it. It was so generous. So we're like, no, we have to do something for you.
Yeah.
If you're not gonna accept our money, at least accept our buying you food. Like,
yeah.
You know, so we take him out for a meal pretty frequently. And I had just at this I said to Rafter, I've got this one. You got the last one, I'll get this one. And I said to Rafter, because I just changed banks at the time and something had gone wrong
with the
changeover.
Yeah.
And so I went to pay and it wasn't working.
Oh no.
I said to Rafter, get back here, mate. I said to him, I'm sorry, but I just changed banks and so I can't pay for it. And he's like, oh yeah. Yeah, you just changed banks. I have to remember that one. Yeah, I just changed banks. I can't pay for this today. You know, like, now he and I know that we don't keep score. Mm. We don't keep track.
Mm.
So you know, I'll get a couple, he'll get a couple, whatever. But we know when we're shouting meals for each other or for someone else, it's not a matter of, oh no, I got the last one, I have to get this, he has to get this one or I have to get this one. No, it just sort of do it, and whatever happens.
Yeah,
you know, without taking advantage of one another, you just kind of, you know, it's just you don't count the cost of it. You know,
yeah.
So yeah, if you shout lunch, you don't expect that you know, that they're going to get you next time 100% or
yeah.
You know. But also random acts of kindness, you help someone move their stuff. You know, you don't expect necessarily that they're going to make the same offer when you move. Like life happens, right?
Yeah,
and
Not
everyone's available at the same time to help. And you know, you understand that implicitly. Yeah. But I do think that the principle doesn't hold true for qualities that sort of come from the friendship, like the fruits of friendship.
Yeah.
Right? I think necessarily there must be a reciprocity in those fruits.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I guess too, it wouldn't be a good idea, just because I'm saying we should expect certain fruits that come from friendship doesn't necessarily then mean that we should count the cost of those
we
should keep tally or keep score of those fruits that come from that or the qualities that come from that friendship.
Certainly.
Either. I don't think that would be helpful. I think when it comes to any form, like any spiritual, tangible, physical fruits, like just accept it like an abundance that's come through and don't kind of hold on to it. But at the same time, I think it's also important that we expect them to exist.
Yes.
Instead of counting how much do they exist or in which ways are they coming and going, I think it is important that we assess, but are they present?
Absolutely.
I think that's an indicator of whether there is a real healthy, flourishing, deep, nourishing friendship or relationship that exists there. So for an example, I would expect from, you know, two women who claim to be really close friends and have been for years, that friendship should possess a great deal of trust and honesty. There should be that safety that comes from having been vulnerable to a degree that's, you know, that's just there because of the time that's passed. And hopefully it's not just been like time with a couple of Facebook messages once a year of Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, like actual depth of conversation and depth of experience that's been shared.
Yes.
And that then becomes the evidence of a true friendship that exists because it's been tested with time and with life that's passed through time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that what I'm trying to get at there is then that those kinds of friendship actually have a level of intimacy in them, in that whole concept of an intimacy, that whole idea. And that's true and good and beautiful. Yeah. Like that's exactly what friendship should be made of. They should be made of those moments with different depths appropriate to different relationships that exist. So in that sense too, yes, there should also be boundaries. Right? Two friends shouldn't have the same level of intimacy as a romantic couple should have.
Right.
There should be a distinction there. And we don't expect then for that same level of intimacy to exist. So we shouldn't expect the same kinds of qualities or the same level of qualities to exist in those kinds of relationships. We also, when it comes to romantic relationships, we also don't expect romantic relationships to live their lives together without that reciprocal expectation of love.
Right, right.
Like without that affection, that trust and honesty and commitment. Like nobody goes around and says, oh no, you should just give. You're like, you're married to them, you should just give. Like don't worry about anything else. Like forget that he doesn't do anything or she doesn't give anything back. Just give. No, that's a recipe for burnout. That's a recipe for unhappiness and dissatisfaction.
Yeah, 100%.
That's unhealthy. There 100%. Should be a reciprocal giving and receiving that exists there.
Yeah.
And same for like male-female friendships. There should be boundaries there. They can't have the same level of intimacy that should be like within a male-female friendship shouldn't look the same as what a romantic relationship looks like, nor what the depth of a relationship between female-female and male-male friendships can look like. There should be a distinction there. And I think I've said it before, like when it comes to, and I recall our conversations with Dr. Andrew and Sarah Swafford as well, when we talk about relationships and friendships that pretend to be like relationships, romantic relationships. Like if it's not there, don't act like it's there.
No.
Just don't do it.
keep it to what it actually is.
Yeah.
Let it be what it actually is. And I suspect that happens when there is a lack of genuine intimacy in somebody's life, right? You know, intimacy with the Lord, intimacy with another, in an appropriate way, where there is that lack of intimacy, we search for substitutes.
Yes.
When it comes to love, substitutes are always counterfeits, and they wind up causing generally great harm.
Yeah, in the long run. Because in the short run, they serve a purpose.
Right.
But then we end up using people.
Right, exactly. A means to an end, right? Mm. Yeah. So, yes, no, I think you're spot on. We need to be very clear about the boundaries, and see them as agents, I suppose, which serve to build genuine intimacy, an intimacy which is actually appropriate for whatever relationship it is that we have with this other person.
Mm. Mm.
By the way, blew my mind with the whole into me see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not mine. That's been around for a long time.
Never heard of it before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Into me see. It's like, okay. Very good. Having expectations builds safety because it develops sort of a certain familiarity, right, and a level of predictability as well. Mm. We're more likely to invest in this friend that we know because you know, they'll call us if they need a listening ear and take our call when we need a listening ear, right? they'll be truthful and honest for us. And they'll tell us when we need to hear something hard, even if it hurts us, our feelings a little bit at the time. They'll be honest and say, "Hey, I think you made a bit of a mistake there." They'll sit through us through laughter, tears, without judgment, and they will allow us to do the same for them, right? So that's not just a one-way street. So these are all expectations that we hold of an existing relationship that are necessary for it to continue to grow and develop and deepen. That reciprocity is not an optional part of a healthy relationship. That reciprocity is a necessary aspect of any healthy relationship. In order to have a relationship which thrives, in a friendship that really has legs to it, that isn't just an acquaintanceship, that isn't just sort of a friendship of happenstance, but is a friendship where there are two people who are have a commitment to each other. In that friendship, there must be a sense of reciprocity, genuine reciprocity.
And I guess that the whole concept of expect nothing in return kind of is a little bit naive, and can also that mindset can also kind of get us into trouble as well if we end up investing in too many people who don't actually return what we also require to be nourished in that relationship. So then we end up becoming, you know, people pleasers or constant givers, and never really being able to kind of open our arms and our hearts to receive first. And that's supposed to be the posture of a Christian. Like as a Christian, we're not just supposed to be givers. We're first supposed to be receivers, which is how we were created. Like our life was given to us. It wasn't something that we gave away to somebody else. It was something that was given to us. Then from life, then we receive, you know, love and nourishment and graces and relationships. Like all of those things come to us. So we need to have a posture of openness and humility and dependence to first receive. And it's only really when we first can receive that what we give becomes that much more valuable. Because otherwise we're just given from our own kind of like brokenness and bits and pieces that we have to offer. But when we can receive from God and from the relationships around us, well, then we've got something more nourishing to offer the person, you know, who the other people that we might be in relationship with or that we encounter or so on. So I think it is important to actually take stock and ask, do we give more than we receive? Or do we receive more than we give? Because there is the other alternative as well, that we become takers. And we're not open to giving for whatever reason that might be. And how do we kind of strike that balance as well?
That's a very real challenge.
Posture of humility, dependence. We first received.
It reminds me, what you just said then, reminds me of that awful, it's such an awful image. I think it's an awful image anyway. That empty cup thing, you know, empty your cup, that sort of thing. You ever heard of that image before?
Empty your cup.
Empty your cup. You know, you have to be able to receive with an empty cup.
Image.
Like, I think it's I really think it's a dumb image.
Yeah, okay.
But and maybe that's because I don't like the Hallmark stuff, but it does have at least partly a point to it, which is that we actually have to be open to receiving in order to grow. And that's what actually enables us to give in any meaningful way, is that we're also receiving from God and from others, as you rightly pointed out. But you finished there with a question of how do you strike that balance between the giving and receiving. And this year it's been actually quite a challenge for me to do that.
Okay.
So I've been on my own at the cathedral. And that's meant that I've been a level of busy which is pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
I have people with me now, and I'm training them up to be effective helpers, which is great. Yeah. I know that at some point the busyness is going to sort of be not as crazy.
Mm.
It'll be crazy, but not as crazy, and that's cool. But I've found myself being isolated by my work. Right. So in both giving and receiving, I've been a little bit distracted. And it's not that I've been intentional about being less engaged during this difficult period. It's that I've been allowing myself to be absorbed by everything that's going on, and thus I've neglected friendships and so that's been quite that's been a very real challenge to recognize. So lately, having recognized that, lately I've been making an effort to be open to others, particularly when they're trying to connect with me.
Mm.
Because people have been trying to connect with me.
Yeah, okay.
And it's been, I'm sorry, I can't. It's actually been a very real challenge to try and make that happen. And so I'm making a concerted effort now to go, actually, no, I need to prioritize these because they are friendships that I have invested in and they've invested in me. And that requires a reciprocity that I need to give. And and that I need to be open to receiving.
Yeah.
So, you know, I need to actually intentionally connect with others, bearing in mind, of course, my insane schedule at the moment, and keeping solid boundaries, which help me to preserve energy for the tasks that I have in my life. So it's not about just going, oh wow, I've made a mistake. Course correct, overcorrect, like that would be a grave error.
Yes.
But correcting in such a way that I recognize where boundaries need to exist in order to preserve my own energy, in order to help me do the tasks that I need to do, but also to help me maintain the friendships that really do mean something to me as well. So,
That's such a hard balance for you to strike as well when I imagine the things that are on your list, on your to-do list, actually do need to be done by someone and there hasn't been anyone else who can do it.
Yes.
So it's like, well, actually the responsibility falls on you for those things to be done. And I imagine most of them would be very, very important. So that makes it really hard because it's not just you choosing other things to keep you distracted away from friendships. It's not like you're willingly choosing to isolate yourself. But at the same time, also becoming, now that you are aware that, okay, well, actually I need to nurture these friendships as well, then it's, well, but what do I do with these responsibilities?
Right, exactly.
That also still need to be done and there's no one else to do them.
Yeah.
Makes it hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been a challenge, but moving forward.
For sure.
Yeah.
In a similar but opposite kind of way, for me in the last couple of months, probably both as a therapist and also going through grief still in the very, very early stages, I've actually found myself intentionally isolating myself, not in total isolation, but pulling away from other things and conserving my energy. Because I'm in a caring profession, I'm already giving away a lot of the energy that I have, and I want to be able to continue to give in my therapeutic space. But it's meant that in my own personal time, there are only a couple of people in my life that I continue to reach out to in this season. And they know who they are. They know they're the people I've reached out to. These are the people who know what's happening, you know, when my grief wave hits, because that's all the energy I have. I can't go and invest in everyone else that I used to invest in. Doesn't mean that I've completely isolated myself and I've stopped giving. No, because hey, I'm still recording. Like, we're still here. I'm still doing ministry. I'm still showing up for those things. I'm still there for my team, still doing formation with them. I still show up for some of my friends. I still host for them, you know, a couple of times a month. I have them around at my place. Like, I still do those things, but I don't now go and make all of these activities on the weekend that I used to, because I don't have the energy for it. So I need to go back into retreat mode so that I not only conserve my energy but build up my energy, but it's exactly in those spaces that I also need to be telling those friends, hey, this is hard. I'm not removing myself from you because I don't want to invest in this relationship. I'm actually pulling back on how much I invest for the time being so that when I am present to you that once a month or twice a month, I can be present to you.
Yes.
But if I continue to give the way that I used to, I'm going to burn out and I'm not going to be able to be present when I'm actually there with you in the intentional time that we have together.
So what you're talking about there, I think, isn't isolation.
No, it's not.
That's solitude. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. It is solitude. But it's also being deliberate and cutting off, well, not cutting off, but deliberate in pulling back on social connection.
Yes.
So it's not isolation. Yes. You're right. Yeah. It's not isolation, but it is deliberate pulling back on social connections. Absolutely. It's interesting because it's the opposite of what you're trying to do at the moment. You're trying to be intentional in socially connecting back with your friends. Mm. And I'm intentionally pulling myself back from a lot of people so that I can give when I meet them, but also so that I'm investing in those, you know, much deeper friendships that I have, but also looking after me.
So yes, that yes, 100%.
Can actually 100%. Show up. I
Absolutely.
Can be okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hopefully we've given you there something to think about in regards a bit of a balance in terms of giving and receiving. Both are important. If you have any thoughts or comments or queries or questions about what we've said today, connect with us. You know, if you know us individually, come and talk to us. If you've got social media, connect with us that way too.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Truth, beauty, and goodness.
Before we do the truth, beauty, and goodness, I'm going to throw a curly one in.
Oh, dear.
We have a book study coming up. Gift and Grit by Dr. Andrew and Sarah Swafford.
Indeed.
Go and grab that book if you haven't already done so. We will be starting that soon. You'll follow our social media to find out when that book study will start. But go and order it because sometimes, you know, it can take a little while to get in.
To get in the mail,
in Australia. So go and order it now if you can, and we'll go through it in three parts. We will have some special friends of ours who will join us for some of those to share some thoughts and have some conversations as well. So
Absolutely.
Gift and Grit by Dr. Andrew and Sarah Swafford, How Heroic Virtue Can Change Your Life and Relationships is our next book study.
That's right. Very good.
So yes, truth, beauty, and goodness, Padre.
So for me, it's the wonderful experience of my students' seminary being brave. One student in particular, who I'm sure was sent as the sacrificial lamb, was sort of who's going to go and approach the lecturer and say this. But he came up, a particular student came up and said, "Father, I'm struggling to understand this aspect of the course, and the way that you taught it made it difficult to comprehend." That took guts. That took a lot of guts.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed.
Yeah.
You know, like that takes.
Go you.
That takes guts.
Yeah.
You know, and
put it like that
and
as well.
And to put it like that and say, look, the way that you taught it didn't help us understand it. Like, okay, all right, I can fix that. Like, what would help you in, you know, could you make clearer this section and this section? Because we just didn't understand it. No worries at all. Next lesson, the first thing we do when we get back is we'll go through this again. Thank you, Father. And I said to him, if you're asking that, if that's a trouble for you, then it's a trouble probably for everybody else in that room.
Yeah, there'll be others.
Exactly. And he goes, yeah. which made me go, this man is the sacrificial lamb. Yeah. You know, they drew straws or something, you know, and they're like, yes, you go and ask him. But I'm so proud that he had the guts to come in and say, yeah, look, didn't understand it. And the problem was the way you presented that material.
Yeah.
This section just didn't make sense to us.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
That takes guts. Yeah. So
I hope he knows that.
They were brave.
I hope he knows that.
Yeah, he does. That's
really cool.
I told him.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good. That's so cool.
So, yeah.
Good on him.
Yeah, very good. How about yourself?
For me, it's a resource. I've been listening to the Good Grief podcast by a Christian couple up in Queensland, and they have just created a grief app for women. It's a space where women who are grieving can come together. There's a, you know, spaces where you can share stories about the person that you're grieving the loss of. Also a space where we can do like phone chats, where we can chat with people and just kind of listen to each other and sit in the grief space together, and no one's like feeling like a burden for anyone else because we're all in the same boat. So it's really nice. There's also going to be spaces for therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists and researchers to be able to come in and share little bits of strategy as well. So we're learning together.
What a fantastic idea.
Yeah, and because it's a Christian space, it also offers us an opportunity to be able to pray with each other and for each other as well. So really, really awesome. It's called Good Grief, both the podcast and the app. Can recommend.
Excellent. What a good resource. Yeah.
All righty. Well, thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Living Fullness. We will catch you again next week. But until then, love our love and prayers.
God bless.